Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the psalmist, Psalm 19, the entire psalm. Hear the word of the Lord. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day by day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out throughout all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from the hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our next scripture lesson comes from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians 12. Starting at verse 12 and then continuing to 31a. Hear the word of our Lord. You'll find that on page 1785 in your pew Bible. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit they were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with the greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respect, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, then all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a more, still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you on this day and we ask that you'll be with us, that you will be with us and guide the meditations of our minds and hearts as we hear and listen to your word, as we listen to its guidance, its teaching, its leadership for our lives, as we seek to go forth and be your people. In your name we pray. Amen. We are all one body. There are moments when the words of Scripture just leap out from the page at us. Not just us, but generation after generation, it leaps out. Think about the number of times you've heard in your various lives the phrase, the body of believers, the body of Christ. It's an image that continues to flow in and around us. When we speak of the body of believers or the body of Christ, we're not just talking about the current reality, but we're reaching back ages and ages before. It's an image that we often don't think about. I can think of a few ministers that I've listened to that every Sunday, at least 10 to 15 times this phrase gets used. And if I'm one of them, don't point that out to me. It's a fairly common image, but it's also one that is such a functional image, such a good image. That's why it's had its staying power. But with that image, as I said to the kids, it can have points at which that we can get hung up on. The fact is, some time ago when Liam and I were reading his kids' Bible, he got to this part and he walks in and he was upset, as kids can do and be. And he said to me, "What part of the body of Christ am I? Because I don't want to be a foot, because they smell." And maybe it was the parent in me, but I said, "Well, if you wore socks, they wouldn't smell any as much." It didn't go over so well with that comment. But what happened was, kids think about certain things. They get worked up about certain things. And for Liam, he heard this, and instead of feeling that call of togetherness, that unity in this scripture, he was so hung up about not wanting to be a smelly foot. How many of us have had similar thoughts? Maybe when we weren't so young. The fact is, once while serving another church, as we were exiting the sanctuary, I shook hands with an elder who told me that, you know, "I'm fine with being any part of the body of Christ, but rather not be an ear or a nose." You notice my confusion even now. His statement was he didn't want to be Christ's snot or earwax. You'd have to know Eddie, and if you knew Eddie, you'd understand. The reality is we get hung up about the basic anatomy of this image often. We forget that we're not in Mr. Gilliam's anatomy class at Ottawa Hills. We're in worship. We're a part of the body of believers, the body of Christ in Hurley. We're part of Hurley Reformed Church, that particular body of Christ. It's not for us to worry whether we're a finger, an arm, a toe, a foot, or any other specific piece. What truly matters is that we are a part of a greater whole. We are a part of something more, something bigger, something greater than just us. What we need to understand is that images always have an imagery problem, which we often create for ourselves. We overcomplicate them. We analyze them. And if you've ever looked at a minister's book of commentaries, it's usually a page upon page upon page. And it's because we have to analyze again and again and again the various meanings. But often we go too deep. We pick and pick and pick, and we're like setting my Uncle Dick next to a plant. Eventually, the plant's all on the floor being picked to death. The fact is, this is an image which provides us with a greater idea of who we are. Now, maybe if it was years later, post-Henry Ford, we might have an image of an engine. You are part of the engine of God. Okay. The spark plug can't say to the fuel line that I don't need you. It's not as nice, but it's functional. But the fact is, the most complex form, the parts and pieces that Christ used was the body. When you think about where Jesus was coming from, what is one of the most complex and yet together things that existed in that time? But the body, us, everyone has one. Some are more functional than others. Some have better knees than others. But all of us have one. All of us understand that togetherness, that unity. But again, we don't have the problem that they would have, that we have a problem that they wouldn't have had. Because now we have metal hips, metal knees, pins and plates in our bodies. We have sometimes more metal in us than in our recycling bin. The fact is, we have a greater understanding of the body and how to fix it and repair it. And the difficulty is that can lend itself to images that aren't quite intended. We need to remember to leave that plant as the plant that Christ showed us. And not pull an Uncle Dick and just pull a leaf off and a leaf off and a leaf off. We need to let the understanding be the understanding. Because the image we have is an understanding that we see perspectives here. The first is that the body exists as different parts with different purposes. Different pieces make up the whole. Every one of us is different and provides a different benefit and purpose within that body. Every single one of us. Paul uses that example of a foot longing to be a hand, or an ear longing to be an eye. Now, don't let the image devolve there, but understand that each part serves a purpose. Each one of us serves a purpose within this body. Small or large, great or small, we all have a purpose. We have all been blessed to bless others as a part of this body. But then we get into how the longing exists in our world. Because So often we look at someone and how they're gifted, and we want those gifts. We want to do that, be that. It's always funny when people meet my family, especially if they've heard me sing a lot or perhaps had to plug their ears a lot. I still remember the comment after we had fixed the original sound issue with the Zoom to radio service. And I thought everything was running fine, and David Kent comes in and says, "Reverend Bill, about the music." And I thought, what happened this time? He said, "You might want to turn your mic off or sing a little softer." It's true. The reality is, my singing is awful. I own it now. There was a time when I wanted to sing as loud as I could, and the people next to me wish I didn't. But then you meet my family. Jenny has a great voice. Edie, if somebody's on key next to her, can be on key. And Rob sings wonderfully. And then there's me. The fact is, growing up, I always heard the story about my dad being one of the two people that would cause the minister of music to quit if he joined the choir. And as I got older, I realized that while I had different gifts, and Dad had a lot of gifts, singing for Dad was an assault on the ears. And yet, he was still a part of the body. And while people wanted Mom to sing, they also wanted Dad to do other things that weren't singing. The fact is, we are so differently gifted, so differently useful as parts of the body. We are a part of that greater whole. And sure, that shifts a little bit as we get older, as we change in our functionality. You think of the functionality as when we're kids. We're spirited labor. There's not a lot we can do usually. And then we get older and we're younger, and our skill set grows and grows, and our usefulness seems to flourish. And then we hit that tail end point where physically we're not quite as able as we used to be. But can we still be a part within that body? We can. We can and we should be, because while our gifts and our ability to use them might change, our presence and our part in the body doesn't. The body's need for us does not. But we also need to accept each other. It's not our faith on our own. It's not an individualistic faith. It is communal. It's not the body of believer. It is the body of believers. When we were children and did that little rhyme of, "This is the church, this is the steeple, open the doors and see all the people." It's not open the door and see the person. You know, it's about all of us together. All of us working to serve God together. A foot can't exist on its own. If it does, then the police are called. A hand cannot exist on its own. An eye cannot exist on its own. It needs to all be a part together. And even those parts we don't think much of are still important, are more important, Scripture tells us. Think about how insignificant a child or an older person might feel as a part of the body of Christ. They can't do most of the things that either they used to or want to. And yet, there's so much that they can do within that body. A child provides us with joy and hope. joy of a child in a family being comfortable enough to cry and gab during worship. When we have a child here for a baptism and that child just starts ba 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 ba, the best part is watching everyone look at that child with joy in their eyes. They might not be as functional, that little child, but they provide a something for all of us. As we get older, there's this part of us that wants to do, wants to be, and yet physically can't anymore, and yet we can still function because we have the know-how. We have the ability, the wealth of experience to share and to impart. It's not us on our own. The fact is, all of us function together. All of us are unified in that central system of the body to serve that one purpose, and that purpose is serving God. There's a phrase that's made its way into RCA circles. And to be honest, I can't really speak from the denominational Thai perspective, which seems to stem from the common Dutch Reformed lineage. But it's a phrase that's made its way through the Belhar Confession coming from South Africa, that statement of unity and faith, unity that the church being united together as one is a gift of God. Unity is a gift from God. My own experience with this terminology and phrase was from Jaco Hamann, a professor at Western Seminary when I was there, who was born and raised in South Africa. The phrase has its origins in the Bantu language, and perhaps the phrase isn't exactly quite defined linearly, as words often can be. It's a word that means something more than just that word, Ubuntu. Strictly translated, it means humanity, but it can also mean I am because we are. I am because you are. I am because we are together. There's a very few ways to simply describe the body of Christ, but this one word and its wealth of meaning describes it fairly well. Desmond Tutu, former Archbishop of South Africa, described it in this way. A person with Ubuntu is open and affirming of to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are good and able, based from a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs in a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished, when others are tortured and oppressed. This is how the body of Christ should be, that we are interconnected and tied together. No, the body of Christ isn't perfect. God didn't choose exactly the best parts of the body free from imperfection, did God? We are all imperfect. But every part is important. From 0 to 100, we are together. No, profoundly imperfect. And not always united in that common purpose of serving God, but it is something for us to live into and strive to be. We need to remember this and strive for it. Embrace our interconnectedness that exists within us, especially during these difficult times, especially when loneliness and mental health are not at its best, when everything seems to be more and more politicized and divided, we need to remember that we are here to worship and to serve God. We are all parts of a greater whole, united in one purpose, united to serve God. May we go forth and live into this. Amen. Ready, Jane?